Amen.
Thank you, Andy. It's a real pleasure to be here, to be able to speak, because I really do like speaking here when I get the opportunity. The message is going to come from the book of Jude, but I've asked Glenn if he would just read Jude, and then I'll go back on it.
The Book of Jude. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who change the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe, and the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their own home. These he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains, for judgment on the great day. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. In the very same way, these dreamers pollute their own bodies, reject authority, and slander celestial beings. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare to bring a slanderous accusation against him, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Yet these men speak abusively against whatever they do not understand, and what things they do understand by instinct, like unreasoning animals. These are the very things that destroy them. Woe to them! They have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. They have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. These men are blemishes at your love feasts, eating with you without the slightest qualm. Shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind, autumn trees without fruit and uprooted, twice dead. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame, wandering stars, for whom blackest darkness has been reserved forever. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly way and of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These men are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. But, dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith, and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy, mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.
People say that the book of Jude is very neglected. A lot of people don't want to preach about it or from it. I think that's more because it's talking about end times as well. When I was doing this, getting this together, I needed something to open up with. Type something out. And yesterday I was praying about it. Is this right? And I didn't know, so I binned it. Then I went to bed last night and I was tossing and turning and, yeah, perhaps I should have given that page. So this morning I woke up and it was on the computer, so I managed to retrieve it. Then I prayed about it and I said, God, if this is what you want me to say, I'll say it. If it's not, then I'll throw it away. And at that time, I felt quite comfortable in saying it. But it's quite amazing because further down where Jude says he was urged by the Holy Spirit, the same thing happened to me just then. I was urged not to use that first page. And so you will not know what I was going to say. So, who was Job? No, who was Jude? That's better. Who was Jude? Well, Jude was the half-brother of Jesus, Yeshua, and the brother of Jacob. You know, he could have been the ultimate name-dropper. Imagine phoning up for a restaurant, for a table, and they say, oh, what's the name? You say, well, I'm the half-brother of Yeshua. You know, you'd get the front seat. Or even better still, you could say, I'm the brother of the Son of God. You know, that would really go down well. But instead, Jude declared himself as a bondservant of Yeshua. A bondservant. So really, what is a bondservant? Well, the Bible description of a bondservant is one who chooses to serve his master till death. He doesn't get paid. And Jude's master, obviously, was Yeshua. He accomplishes all the master's will for his life because of a love called agape. And it's not being perfect. Sometimes we feel people have to be perfect. You know, none of us could be perfect. But it's a dedication, a true dedication to following God in all things. The theme of the letter is broken down into four parts. I need to wet my whistle. I don't know if you have that saying. The four parts. One, Christians need to defend the doctrines of the faith. Number two, false teachers will be identified by their immoral character. Three, God will judge false teachers. And four, lastly, saints must endure to be saved. As well as this letter being written at the time, but it was also meant for end times. You know, some people, especially Christians, seem to have their head in the sands regarding end times. They don't really want to talk about end times. They sometimes, you know, they think it's almost like fairy tales, like Jack and the Beanstalk or Gulliver's Travels, all these things that could happen, that the Bible predicts will happen, and people don't like to go there. So he tells us in verse 3 that I had need to write to you, urging you to fight the faith once handed down to the saints. And then he tells us, this was a move from the Holy Spirit, when he tells us that he was urging you to fight the faith. But he says this was a move from the Holy Spirit, urging him to change the letter. We should also be open to the Holy Spirit, like I said I was. If you feel that God is saying something, don't try and put it behind, no, that can't be God. Be really open to it, because you can, you know, if you act on something that the Holy Spirit is wanting you to act on, that is a good thing. If we sort of put it to the back of our minds, it's like rejecting the Holy Spirit, and we just don't want to do that. And this letter is really warning the people at that time. In verse 4, it tells us that for certain men did sneak in stealthily, those who long ago were for this condemnation, ungodly men, because they changed grace into licentiousness. You know, we have to be, well, in the church, where Jude was talking about, it says they will creep in, but they have crept in. They have crept in. They're not creeping in. They have crept in. They were amongst the people. And this is where we have to be very careful, because they was already in that church and they was already telling lies and spreading false rumours. In Matthew 7, verse 15, it says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are like ravenous wolves. And you know, have you ever seen a cheetah when it's chasing a group of a herd of wildebeests? It doesn't go for the leader, it goes for the ones that are behind, that are struggling. Yeah. And that's like us. You know, Satan is out. He's not after the sort of people that all know their Bible and are really up front. It's people that are perhaps struggling. You know, is this really true? They're really struggling for the truth. This is where Satan will bring us down, like that lion or that cheetah. Because it's a horrible scene to see as it flicks the wildebeest's back leg. The wildebeest rolls over and then they all come onto it. You know, and this is like Satan and his demons. You know, they want to devour us, especially as times are getting near to the end. You know, Satan just wants to bring everybody down. It's so easy to sort of sit back and, oh, you know, that's happened, this has happened. You know, there is a true enemy that is about. You know, it's not some sort of false thing that people have dreamt up. No, Satan is real. We know that if he came in here dressed as in a red jumpsuit with a pitchfork, we would know that's Satan. But no, he's like the lion that creeps about in the tall grass, ready to devour, ready to bring us down when we're off guard. And you know, I will give you a story. This wasn't in the script, but I told Andy a few weeks ago, many years ago, this is how we can suddenly fall, as quick as that. I don't want to embarrass Margaret, but she knows the story. We was away on holiday somewhere, and we was shopping in a supermarket, and I was following a pair of tight jeans down the aisle. And Margaret says, who are you looking at? What are you looking at? And straight away I said, nothing. Just like that, nothing. And then in that split second, I've committed two sins. One, I was looking at something I shouldn't have done. And two, I quickly said, I wasn't looking at anything. Well, I've lied. Just like that. And this is how quick things can happen, you know. So who are these false teachers today? Well, in the time of Jude, the false teachers, like I said, would creep into the church. But today, we actually invite them in to our homes because they come in through the television. Instead of channel hopping, we should try chapter hopping in the Bible, in God's word. It may come as a shock, but we are living in a time of lies and fake false doctrines from so-called TV preachers. As a group called Word of Faith Ministries, or Word of Faith, I think it is. And these are the ones that are tricking us, that are bringing people down. How do we know? So if we go to Matthew Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, verse 10 and 11. Matthew 7, 16. That's better. 16 to 20. You will recognize people by their fruit. Does anyone gather grapes from a thorn bush or figs from thistles? In this way, every good tree produces good fruit, but the rotten tree produces evil fruit. A good tree is not able to produce evil fruit, nor a rotten tree is able to produce good fruit. Every tree not producing good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Consequently, you will indeed know them on the count of their fruit. A couple of weeks ago, Ant gave a message, and he mentioned a few of these television preachers. Before I go any further, I know people could say, oh, you should go to your brother, you know, and talk to your brother if he's doing something wrong. My brother is like Alan, is Rob, is Andy, and the sisters are the ladies here. You know, these people are not my brother. People like, I know it's Jacob Price is one, but others have tried to approach these people that are giving these false teachings, and they don't want to know. One of the things they have, that if you go and question what they're doing, you are touching, trying to bring down the anointed of God. And this is the falseness that they have. You see, people don't realise that everything that comes from the podium should be checked. Like the Bereans. We should check, do as the Bereans, check the scriptures. They were people that used to go to the church, listen to what was said, but then they'd go home and go through everything to make sure that what was being said was the truth. Yeah. And this is how we should be. A couple of these people, or three or four, is Kenneth Hagin, Joyce Meyer, Creflo Dollar, Joel Osteen, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Benny Hinn, Jesse Duplantis. I saw Jesse Duplantis, and he was saying that God asked for his advice. He was saying it on television. He said, God said to me, Jesse, what do you think I should do? You know, this is the high almighty God asking Jesse Duplantis for advice. I don't really think so. Andrew Womack. Hillsongs is another one. Sadly, these people probably started off really, really good. I remember watching Andrew Womack. listening to Hillsongs. But I don't know what it is. It's when the money comes in, they start to forget about God. And they're looking at themselves, because I must be good, because we're getting thousands of people coming in. They are what is known as prosperity preachers. They prey on people's money. And that word prey is P-R-E-Y, not P-R-A-Y. In 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy 6, it says, "For the love of money is a root of all evils, which because some strove for, they went astray from the faith, and they pierced themselves with many sorrows." I'd like to read from Spurgeon. It's quite good. I bought this book because of it had all his messages in, and some of them are so interesting. But this one, it says, "We have known many Christians who have forgotten much of their love of Christ when they have risen in the world." "Ah," said a woman who desired to do much for Christ in poverty, who had a great sum left her, "I cannot do as much as I used to do." "But how is that?" said one. And she said, "When I had a meagre purse, I had an overflowing heart. And now I have an overflowing purse, I have a meagre heart." It is a sad temptation for some men to get rich. They were content to go to their meeting house and mix with the ignoble, the lower people of the congregation, while they had but little. They have grown rich. There is Turkish carpets in the hallway and in the drawing room. They have arrangements now that are too splendid to permit them to invite the poor of the flock, as once they did. And Christ Jesus is not so fashionable to allow them to introduce religious topics. When they meet with their new friends, besides this, they say they are obliged now to pay visits to that and visit to that. And they may spend much time in attire and in maintaining their station of respectability. They cannot find time to pray as they did. The house of God has to be neglected for the party, and Christ has less of their heart than he ever did. This is what happens. I remember many years ago, there was a woman called Spend Viv. I can't remember. She won the pools. Oh, and she went out, and it was only, I think probably then it was only a few thousand pounds, but she went out and bought a Jag and bought this, that and the other. I think it ended up, her husband wrapped the Jag around a lamppost and died, and other things happened. And she was just full of wanting money, and she ended up absolutely penniless. There's a lovely proverb that we read, and it said, It's like a prayer. Remove from me falsehood and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and still and so profane the name of my God. In verse 12 in Jude, it tells us that these selfish and greedy men and women are like hidden rocks. And we know what hidden rocks are like out at sea. They're absolutely horrendous for shipping. That's why we have a lighthouse on the rocks. So these men are under the water. It's like under the water hidden. But they're They're at your love meals together. They sit and eat within the fellowship. They care only about themselves. They are like clouds that the wind blows. And I was thinking about this, and there's no rain. Well, the Holy Spirit is symbolic of water. And so these are empty clouds. These people are like empty clouds with no rain. They haven't got the Holy Spirit. And then it goes on, they are like trees that produce no fruit, even in autumn. This is because they have no roots. They have no foundation, nothing to hold on to. They really are dead. In verse 13, it tells us that their wicked deeds are like driftwood, again, which is dangerous, that the wild sea throws up. They are like stars that just wander around. God has a place prepared for these people. If they do not turn and repent, they will have to answer to our Creator, God Himself. 2 Timothy In 2 Timothy chapter 4, 3 and 4, it says, "For there will be a time when sound teaching will not be listened to, but they will heap up teaching according to their own desires." These people will want their ears tickled. They just want to hear what they want to hear, what their ears are itching to hear. "And indeed, they will turn their ears from the truth and they will turn aside to myths." And this is exactly what is happening nowadays. In fact, when you think of it, with all the technology that is going on in the modern world, we're still not solving man's problems. Because Satan is man's problems, the fall is man's problems. Jude 17 and 18. "But you, beloved, must keep in mind the words that were spoken earlier by the apostles of our Lord Yeshua, Messiah. Because they were saying to you, 'In the last time there will be mockers who go the way of the ungodly according to their own desires.' And I am amazed." We get the ordinary mockers. We get ordinary people, you know, that are outside. "You're not a Christian, are you?" And things like that. But we're talking about some of these people are actually in the fellowship that have got their own things that they think are what should be taught. But they're not going to God's word. You know, they're thinking, they're just sort of thinking things up themselves. And this is what is happening. And I think also of the laws that governments are passing now. Yeah. The laws are unbelievable. If you know, I mean, most of us are sort of, well, yeah, we've been around some time. And if you go back, you know, I know it's a sort of a thing about saying it, this was a Christian country, but we did have a lot of Christian things for us. Yeah. You know, we had the laws, the rules and all that type of thing. But if you, and what things they're passing now, you know, I am amazed. You know, we know all about the homosexuals and the gay scenes and all that. And I don't want to bring all that up. But this is now, the new thing now is this sort of fluid gender. And I was, because I had an email from, or a blog from Bill Randall's, who's a preacher in America, and there was this young boy, I think 10 when he started, just wanted to be dressed as a woman, and now he's one of the top models. He's a boy, but he dresses like a woman or a girl, and he flaunts about like it, and the audience was clapping him and lifting him up. You know, it's so sad. You know, we could You know, some people could laugh at it and things like that, but it is horrendous, really. It's horrendous what this world is coming to, what this country is coming to with the laws that we pass. Obviously there's no prying to go into these laws. People don't... They tell you that they do have prayer in the morning in Parliament. You know, it might be just a few of them go in. But it doesn't seem to be like it's a fundamental thing of having a prayer before you go into meetings and that type of thing. I was a guy that used to go to our old church, and he was, the mayor of somewhere. It wasn't Peterborough, but somewhere. Was it Corby? He was the mayor of Corby. And the first thing he did, he was a minister, he got all the people, they used to pray before they started the day. So they'd all come into the meeting hall and they'd pray, and he'd pray on that for them. And probably now it doesn't happen. But it was just interesting that some people will do things like that, you know. So where was we in 18? Yep. So in verses 22 and 23, Jude shows us how to help certain people that go off track. You know, and there's a difference between just going off track than actually preaching false things, false lies. And the three things is Jude recommends these three separate courses. For some, we show compassion. For those who struggle in these times, others, we bring their attention to their errors and warn them in love. The others, and this is the TV evangelists, who many are not really Christians, we approach this with... We approach with fear, but the word actually is caution. We have to, really, we shouldn't try to get near you. Yeah, we should just be very careful. Because there is a sense of judgment necessary in dealing with people who fall from grace. And this is what these people do. And the thing is, it's not heavy-handed, but it's having a compassionate heart. Jude loved the brethren of his day, and he saw the need to protect them. And you know, I feel the same. I was talking before. I said, when we first come to the church, it was like acquaintances. Then it was friends. But after a time, it's brothers and sisters. It's almost the brethren of the church are closer than our own relatives, our blood relatives. And this is it. And I urge you that when we have a prayer request, I've fallen for this, but when we have a prayer request, we should answer it straight away. You know, when somebody phones up saying, this has happened or that's happened, you know, it's so easy to say, oh, I'll do that later on, I'm too busy. You know, let's think that, well, that is somebody crying out for help, maybe. So let's do it straight away. So we also should love and encourage one another. Because, and watch each other's backs, that is one thing we have got to do. Because, as I say, the enemy can creep in very undercover. And so we need to watch each other's backs. And have the guts to bring something to someone's attention. So in conclusion, in Hebrews, it says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holies by the blood of Yeshua, a new and living way which he dedicated to us through the veil, this is by his flesh. So we have a great priest in the house of God. We should present ourselves with a true heart in full assurance of faith, since we have purified our heart hearts from a conscience of evil and have washed the body in clean water. We should, without wavering, hold fast the confession of the hope, for the one who promised is faithful. And we should consider one another in provoking love and good deeds, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, as is the custom for some, but exhorting, and so much the more as you see the day draw near. In Jude 24, it finishes with a benediction. It says, "Now the one who is able to keep you without stumbling and to stand before his glory blameless in extreme joy, to the only God, our salvation, through our Lord Yeshua Messiah, be glory, majesty, strength and power before every age, both now and forever. Amen." Jude showed love and compassion for the brethren. And he was a true servant of God. He was crucified according to the Book of Martyrs in AD 72. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you, Father, for your message. I pray, Father, that those who have ears may hear and understand, Father. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this fellowship, Father. Just bless us, Father, to you. In Jesus' name, amen.